Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show, and you're invited to not just listen, but participate. You're welcome to call in with questions and comments along the way. I'll give you the phone numbers now. We'll repeat them fairly frequently for you, too. 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. And good morning, everyone. We have a very special guest today. We have Dr. Melvin Katzen from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. He is the doctor, radiologist, owner, and founder of the Imaging Center. I guess we're having a little technical difficulty here.
That's okay.
All right. So, and I want to remind everybody that I'm a family physician, and we are very happy to tell you that, yes, we are accepting new patients. If you would like, you could call our office at 941-625-1990. And also, I want to remind everyone that this is a live radio talk show. Now, you can call in, you can ask a question, and you can make a comment, and we're here for you. So you don't have to say your name. We are very, very confidential in that you don't have to say your name. Okay, so today we have a very important. We all know that October is Breast Month, cancer awareness for women. So we're going to talk about a very controversial study that came out and how that started to change women's perception of when they need a mammogram. But guess what, everybody? We're going to set you straight so that when at the end of the show, you're going to say, I know what I need to do. And if not just you, but if you have a loved one, if you're a man who has a wife, a mother, a daughter who falls into the age group that they need a mammogram, please encourage them. So, Dr. Katzen, I welcome you today. And please tell us a little bit, because you are the first in many ways here in Charlotte County. And not only the finest, of course, but the first. Welcome, Dr. Katzen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Triana. Good to be here with you.
So tell us, what are the first that you've done here?
Well, when I came here in 1969, and the medicine was the hospital. Those two hospitals were here, and things were in a pretty primitive state. So one of my charges or one of my goals as a career was to bring the community into technological presence rather than technological obsolescence. So during the years that I've been here, we had the first CT scanner. We had the first MRI scanner. We set up the first radiation therapy treatment center. And we also did the first prostate ultrasounds and biopsies. And we did the first nuclear medicine and echocardiography. And we also started the low-dose mammogram program. Prior to in the early 1960s, mammography started, but the dose was quite high because the original film that was used for mammography was industrial film. In other words, the foundries would want to x-ray pieces of metal to see if there were cracks after the metal came out of a mold, and we were using that kind of film with a conventional x-ray tube. Shortly after, there became an awareness as to the dose of radiation administered to the breast. So the industry responded with two major developments. One of them was to change the x-ray tube to a different target, which would produce softer radiation, which would increase the contrast that we saw on the mammogram. And the other was to develop more sensitive films so that we could reduce the dose. And this has continued to date, where we are no longer even using film. but we use an electronic plate to measure the amount of radiation passing through the breast, which has substantially reduced the dose of radiation beyond what we used to call low-dose radiation.
So, in other words, a mammogram is now very low dose. Could you give us a perspective? Because one of the fears that women have is their fear of radiation. Could you put that in context of how much is that?
Sure. Right now, using digital mammography, the dose of radiation to the breast is approximately half what the dose of radiation that a woman would get if she had a chest X-ray. Now, when people go to the doctor and the doctor hears something in their chest, they don't seem to hesitate getting a chest X-ray. And yet the dose to the breast is approximately half of that during a standard digital examination. And the doses are very tightly controlled. Quality assurance is done every day in all centers because you cannot offer a mammogram in any center without having it be certified by the federal government.
It's certified by the federal government, the machine, the doctor, right? The technologist, by the American College of Radiology. Am I correct with that?
Well, that's correct. Every person that has anything to do with mammography has got to have their respective certifications. Starts with the equipment, starts with the doctor who reads. For the physician, every 3 years, they have to have 19 hours of continuing medical education to be able to continue to read mammography. And in addition to that, they have to read a certain number of mammograms each quarter of the year in order to stay qualified.
So, ladies, listen, this is very important that you feel safe and you feel comfortable knowing, for example, getting your mammogram as at Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. It is very important to know all this has been certified, and the radiologist, technician, and the machines. So, because sometimes women don't know exactly where to go, and that's important for them to know. I wanted to talk about, just to bring up some of the facts about breast cancer. I think that's really important that the National Cancer Institute has 1 in 8 women developing a chance of invasive breast cancer during her lifetime. That used to be 1 in 11 in 1975. In the year 2009, over 3 million women were alive who had a history of breast cancer. And I want everyone to know, because we have had a program, the second leading cause of cancer death in women is breast cancer. The number one cause is lung. So we had a whole program, which was great, about lung cancer early detection. If you have any questions, you know you can go to my website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com. And also, if you have any questions, if you're too shy to call, you can also call. You can email AskDrTriana@TrianaPreventionCenter.com. So, Dr. Katzen, explain to us, how long does it take to get a mammogram?
It usually takes between 10 and 15 minutes to get a mammogram. And the patient will usually have their results the next day or the very latest one day, 48 hours later. If the doctor feels something in the breast and the doctor sends the patient for a mammogram, then we call that a diagnostic mammogram, and that may take a little bit longer because that also may involve the radiologist who wants to examine the breast as well to make sure that the area of concern is cleared or that further tests don't have to be done.
Okay, so it's very important to know that women who are older also can get breast cancer. So talk to us about that.
Yes, I mean the age range for breast cancer in my experience has been from the early 20s to we had a patient last year, 93 years old, who developed a breast cancer. But last week we saw a patient, 87 years old, who had developed a breast cancer, and she had never had a mammogram, which brings up another very interesting recent article that came from out of Harvard, where an analysis was done of patients who passed on from breast cancer, and 2/3 of those patients, roughly, had never been screened, never had a mammogram. So our whole purpose of doing mammography is to find tumors when they're very small and still in the relatively controllable or curable stage.
Right, that's the whole thing, and that's what we're going to discuss today. And we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, there's another technology out today called thermograms, which is supposedly supposed to be less invasive, doesn't have the radiation and all. Can you talk about that a little bit? It's also supposed to be able to detect some of the problems earlier. Can you kind of go through all that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, caller. Thank you. Yes, Dr. Katzen, thermograms.
We had an experience with thermograms about 10 or 15 years ago, and we did several hundred patients here in Punta Gorda, and we found our experience was not as good as one would expect. The tumors that were positive on thermogram tended to be larger rather than smaller. We're looking for very tiny tumors in the breast. Some of the tumors we discover are like smaller than the eraser at the end of a pencil. And a tumor that size, in our experience, did not show up on thermography. The other problem with thermography is a woman had some inflammatory change in the breast. She'd have a positive thermogram and not have a tumor. So we had a lot of false positives. So in our hands, in our experience here, it hasn't been very good. There's a lot in the medical literature about thermography, and because it senses the heat from the breast. But generally speaking, the increased vascularity caused by tumors, because one of the things that tumors do is that they cause a greater vascular bed. In other words, the tumor actually secretes a substance that causes the body to develop more blood vessels. In order to be able to see that on most thermograms, the tumor has to be larger. And the other problem with the thermogram, especially here in Florida, is that the women have to be sitting in the room where the thermogram is taken if they use the spectrograph type device for some time in order to equalize their skin temperature.
Right. So in other words,
it takes a long time. It's about 30 minutes, 40 minutes per procedure.
So my understanding, Dr. Katzen, am I correct in saying thermogram, they tried it. It really isn't the standard for screening for breast cancer.
Well, I don't. In our hands, that's true. There are other methods of screening that are equally accurate, or even more accurate than mammography, but they're more expensive and more difficult to do. But mammography is relatively inexpensive, fast, and accurate. We have false positives in mammography and false negatives. Approximately 10% of the cancers you don't even see on a mammogram. Cancers that you can actually feel.
Even though you may feel a lump, 10% may not show up on the mammogram.
That's correct.
And those other tests that you were saying that can see and screen for breast cancer are more expensive and not the first line indication. For example?
Yes, we're doing MRI of the breast, and the sensitivity, that's the ability to see something that's wrong, is greater than it is with film screen, with digital mammography.
Okay, so in other words, the MRI is more sensitive?
If there is a tumor, it's more sensitive to, in other words, if uh, If somebody has a problem, we're more likely to discover it, a small problem, on MRI exams than we are on the conventional digital mammogram. The problem is that MRI takes a little bit longer to do, and it is more expensive, and it involves injection of contrast material, too.
Okay. So going back to the mammogram, we were talking about why is it that women are not getting their mammograms. Now, I want everyone to understand that the importance of getting a mammogram, and we're going to talk about the controversy. First of all women are at risk for breast cancer, and only 5 to 10% of women have a mutation, a gene that's mutated, the breast cancer gene, which is called the BRCA1 and BRCA2. That's spelled BRCA, BRCA1 and BRCA2. So 90 to 95% of people who have breast cancer does not involve this mutation. And one of the reasons women will say to me, I don't need a mammogram because I don't have a family history of breast cancer. So right away, this goes against that.
That's correct. The 10% of the people who have a BRCA gene have a positive BRCA1 or BRCA2. They're in a different patient population. They need to be treated differently and watched differently. But the family history of breast cancer is incidental, but there is not a direct relationship between somebody who had a close family member who had cancer and a young person who will or will not get cancer. But of course, people who have a family history of cancer are usually a little bit more aware as well.
Right. They're more
and that's good.
Very good. And that's why I want to talk about, that's one of the things that a lot of women say they don't want to get a mammogram because of this myth. They feel that they don't have a family history. They don't really need a mammogram. Well, let's just blow that myth out of the water.
Yes, that's true. Now, one of the thing I wanted to, I forgot to mention about the when the previous caller was talking about thermography as being less invasive than a X-ray mammogram, the amount of radiation we use now is so small that it's equivalent to just being out and about for 3 months.
Out in the natural environment.
Right.
So you walk around in the natural environment for 3 months. You get radiation from wherever you live in the air comes through, right?
Comes from space.
From space to ground. You're getting as much radiation as?
As a mammogram every 3 months. Men and women both.
Men and women. So in other words, you could get a mammogram. You still should be getting your mammogram yearly, and you're getting less radiation than you do from walking around for 3 months. I think that really puts it into perspective, and half the dosage of an X-ray.
That's correct.
I would think, so this fear of radiation, again, I have women saying, I'm scared of radiation. Mammogram is going to cause breast cancer. Mammograms do not. Am I correct? Do not. Absolutely do not.
It's very, very difficult to be categorical and say absolutely do not. On the other hand, the dose that we're using now is so minuscule that the likelihood of having a breast cancer is hard to measure.
Well, when we talk about the reasons you should have a mammogram, I think everyone will agree how important it is. One of the other concerns that women who get mammograms, they feel it's uncomfortable.
Well, in order to achieve the doses that we're talking about, the dose of radiation administered depends on the thickness of the tissue we're going through. So we try and compress the breast, not to the point of making the ladies too uncomfortable, but to get to reduce the amount of tissue that the x-ray has to penetrate, because we're using so little to begin with. And so that is the reason for the compression. The other reason for compression is that sometimes the breast being a glandular tissue, there's part where one gland overlies another gland, and there's confusion as to whether this is something real or something that is, like what I said, a glandular tissue lying over glandular tissue or some other abnormality in the breast. So by compressing the breast, we spread out the breast.
Right, so you can see it better.
Right.
And you have, you do mammograms at both your centers, correct?
That's correct.
In Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte.
That's correct. We have identical machines in both Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte.
If a woman wants to get a mammogram, can you give us the phone number?
Sure. 637-9729 is our phone number. Or if you forget the number, just think 637-X-ray.
637-X-ray. Very good. So we've talked about the myths of why women don't want to get mammograms. One of them is fear of radiation, uncomfortable, the cost, that they think that they don't have it in their family history, which it doesn't matter whether you have it in your family or not. You still need to be screened. And also women haven't seen their physician and forget to get their orders to get their mammogram. We remind our patients to get their mammograms, and we constantly, when we see the patients, remind them when it's time to get their mammograms at the Triana Prevention Center. It's very important.
Very important.
So before I, you know, last week I had, and I'm just going to take a moment before our little break, I have what body part am I? So everybody out there listening, just, and we're still going to talk about breast and mammograms and how important and who out there should get one. So I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to have a little musical break. And anyone who can guess this body part, what body part am I? Please call in at 206-1580. Okay, here it goes. I'm inside your body. I'm 6 to 10 inches long and 2 inches wide. If you lose me, you cannot live without me. I am multifunctional. I produce a hormone. If I get inflamed, I can cause much pain. What this hormone that I produce is needed to get energy into your cells. I produce enzymes which digest your food. I am a glandular organ. So we'll take our break. Everybody think about what part of the body is this? What body part am I?
And you're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, which is brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center every Friday morning at this time. By the way, they have a wonderful website that I would encourage you to visit and an archive of all of the previous radio programs. So if you missed anything along the way or there's a specific subject you'd like to do some research on, you can go back and hear the radio programs from the very beginning. It's easy to find at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A, Prevention Center, all one word, .com. Also, in a moment, we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number as she is accepting new patients. And if you would like to make an appointment, that is something that we will help you do. And I'll also give you our phone number so you can respond to the trivia question of the moment or anything that comes up that you want to talk to us about. 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you, Todd. And today we're very blessed to have Dr. Melvin Katzen as our guest. He is a radiologist. He is board certified in radiology, nuclear medicine, radiation therapy. He is a pioneer here in Charlotte County, being one of having the first MRI he brought to this town, the first CAT scan. So we're very lucky to have him with all his expertise. So today we're talking about who should get mammograms. There's a lot of controversy swirling about. Do I get a mammogram? Do I not get a mammogram? Who should get a mammogram? Well, we're going to clear this up today so you know exactly who should get a mammogram and what age group. We also did the question of what body part am I? And if I don't get any callers, I'll give some more clues during the rest of the program. I think if I give more clues, people will really guess very quickly what body part this is. So, what is the controversy? In 2009, the U.S. Preventive Task Force came out with a recommendation saying, number one, that to limit screening mammograms to women between the age of 50 and 74, and that this mammogram should be done every other year. Now, this was against the recommendation of the American Cancer Society, which earlier said a woman should get a mammogram every year starting at age 40. So we've discussed this is now, there is now studies coming out saying that that recommendation is no longer valid. The recommendation should be and should be that women should start getting their mammograms every year starting at the age of 40. We're talking about screening. Screening. What does the word screening mean, Dr. Katzen?
Well,
we have a caller.
We'll go right back to screening. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, caller.
Hi. Is it the pancreas?
Wonderful. Yes, and it produces. Thank you very much, caller. Yay. Yes, the pancreas. It produces the hormone.
Insulin.
Yes,
insulin.
Yes, very good. Thank you so much. Boy,
you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Insulin, it produces the hormone glucagon. Somatostatin, it produces digestive enzymes. And if you lose your pancreas, you and the functions, then you're going to have to get insulin from another source. Also, and enzymes. Also, we know pancreatitis, when it gets inflamed, it hurts very much. So, yes, the pancreas is a very important part. Boy, I'll tell you, last week, people guessed it. This week, I'm really happy that people are listening.
There's a very smart audience.
Very, very smart audience. I'm very proud of you. I knew if I said the word insulin, they'd clinch it. So I try to keep it as simple as possible. So thank you, caller. So what does the word screening mean, Dr. Katzen?
Well, screening is taking an unsuspected population, a population which is seemingly normal, and subjecting that population to a test, a mammogram or a blood test or whatever, to try and find those people who don't suspect they have anything wrong, those people who have something wrong, that the screening can be directed to do something about. For instance, like pap smears or mammography is another method of screening.
Before a person has symptoms, we can do a screening test. Because a lot of women will say, I don't feel anything wrong with my breast. I don't feel bad. A screening test then will look to make sure there is not a problem, there is not a tumor in the breast, even though 10%, we said, it's a screening test is just that. It's looking for early detection of cancer. And is that is the most important thing.
Yes, because if you want to treat a cancer, the smaller the cancer you're treating, the more likely you are to have a successful outcome. If the tumor gets larger, it tends to spread to the lymph nodes in the area, and then even through the blood to other organs in the body. So it's not that small, tiny tumors don't occasionally do that, but most tumors behave most of the time in such a way that the smaller they are, the more likely you are to have a successful outcome.
So when they came out with this proposal about limiting the amount of screening done for women, there was this question, does screening really save lives?
Well, I think the medical literature will show that through screening, in those countries like in Sweden where all the women are screened and they have very good medical records, I think they've reduced the mortality from breast cancer by at least 20% through screening.
Correct. They did a study that if women that were diagnosed with cancer between the age of 40 to 49 showed that it decreased death by 29%. And what they did a study, they divided the country in half. Half the women had their mammograms starting at 40, the other half starting at 50. So if women started having their mammograms at 40, this lowered their chance of dying from breast cancer by 29%. I think that's very important.
Well, it is very important. And that's really the result of screening.
So, in other words, if this, therefore, is showing the effectiveness of screening.
Right.
Going against this earlier proposal.
Well, I think the earlier proposal was based on the fact that there's a presumption that your risk for cancer is greater the older you get. And that is partly true, but not 100%. But the facts concerning breast cancer don't really support that, because the average age, or the median age of at the time of discovery of breast cancer is 61. That means that half the cancers are discovered in ladies younger than 61 and half older than 61. And if you go from through the decades, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, and 70 to 80, in each of those decades, approximately 20% more or less of the cancers are discovered in those age groups. Now, there are the outliers, which you talked about earlier, where ladies in her 90s, but those are occasional cases, or a young person in their 20s. But really, for most of the people, for most of the patient population in whom breast cancer is discovered, the discovery at each decade is pretty much the same between 40 and 80 years old.
So the importance then of screening, again, is for early detection. It's very important because we know the earlier we detect a cancer, the more chance we have of outliving that cancer.
Well, that's correct. That's certainly correct in the breast, and it's correct in other areas in the body, like, for instance, in the cervix.
And the colon cancer, yeah. Getting colonoscopies for cancer screening, that's very important too. So I want everyone to know we're talking about screening. We're not talking about if you feel something in your breast.
That's correct. Screening means that the patient is normal.
They feel they have no symptoms. Right. We're just trying to have early detection. So in September the 9th, there was an article published in the journal Cancer. And the bottom line is breast screening mammograms does save lives. This study was done at Harvard at Mass General, and it's called a failure analysis, which they compared to, for example, when an airplane falls down, it's called the black box analysis. You know, what caused this person to pass away? Why did the airplane fall down?
That's correct.
So they looked backward at women who unfortunately had passed away from breast cancer, and whether it correlated between patients who died, whether these patients received breast cancer screening. They found that 71% of the women that passed had not, N-O-T, undergone regular breast cancer screening. That's pretty high.
That is high.
That's very high. And that, if you were under the age of 50, that your risk of dying of breast cancer was decreased by 50%. I think that's very important. And that pretty much, for me, seals the deal that, yes, breast screening mammograms does save lives. Could
that's
you comment
correct.
On that, Dr. Katzen?
Well, I think that is true. I mean, if breast screening it will find tumors that are smaller. Now, what do we mean by smaller? If you have a tumor that's, let's say, an inch across, then you have over a billion cancer cells in that tumor.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So those cancer cells are different than normal cells because they have the normal restraining restraints that normal cells have. For instance, if you cut yourself, a scar forms and you heal. But cancer cells don't know from that. They just keep going. And unless there is some kind of treatment or there is some kind of treatment, they're going to continue to grow and they'll spread throughout the body.
And that's what we call metastasis.
Right.
And remember that breast cancer is the second leading cause of death in women. Remember, we've talked about the number one cause of death in women is vascular heart. And at the Triana Prevention Center, we look at the patient as a total being. So we are looking to prevent the major events of life, such as breast cancer, a heart attack, stroke, and we're also trying to prevent diabetes. And part of it is seeing a physician who is, as myself, is also has an expertise in the prevention, preventing the heart attack by, I'm a lipidologist, by also reminding patients of what we need to get done for their age group, such as getting a mammogram.
Right. Now, mammograms don't prevent breast cancer.
No.
But they certainly allow us to find tumors in a very early stage, and that is the goal of the screening process.
Right. Yes, we don't prevent. What we're trying to do is prevent having something that's such a major problem. If we catch it at a little problem, we can go ahead and avert having the major problem of cancer that spread through the whole body. One of the questions that women tell me over and over again is, what if I'm 75? Do I still need a mammogram? Well, I say, and I will talk about this, that there was an NIH study that showed that, yes, women over the age of 60 had a diagnosis of more aggressive cancer. That 60% of women, the longer they waited after 75 to get a mammogram, the longer time they had a chance, the higher chance they had of dying from breast cancer. Put that into perspective.
Well, it's the same for women of any age. Smaller tumors result in more control and cure.
All right. Catch it early.
Right. And the facts that we mentioned earlier, where at each decade in life, the incidence of breast cancer for women is about the same, plus or minus 4 or 5%. So even though as we get older, our chances of getting cancer from any organ is greater than for a younger person. The number of breast cancers discovered in older people is almost equivalent to the number of breast cancers discovered in younger people.
So that's really important to say. This study looked at 9,000 women in the Women's Health Initiative study, and that were diagnosed with breast cancer. The lead investigator said that we should continue to be doing breast cancer screening over the age of 75 because many women at 75 are still working, traveling, enjoying their loved ones. So why stop at 75?
There's no reason to stop at any age.
So if you are 75 and you're, again, leading an active, productive life, you should still be getting a mammogram. And again, they're basing this on the health of the woman. If the woman has a severe illness that maybe she will not be living long, then we could say maybe that you could discuss this with your physician whether you do need a mammogram or not.
Well, I think that's true. But if a woman has a lump in the breast, a postmenopausal woman has a lump of the breast, the breast is easier to examine in an older woman because there's atrophy of the glandular tissue that made milk. So the breast is consists mostly of just fat and fibrous tissue, and it's very easy to examine. And if somebody has a lump in the breast and it turns out to be a tumor, a cancer, and nobody does anything about it, even if they have a shortened life expectancy, the growth of that tumor can create a great deal of local distress to that patient. It gets very ugly and very messy, I can tell you that.
So that's very important to know. And that's
so even if you just take out the tumor and don't go full bore with the rest of the treatment protocol like you would in a 30 or 40-year-old patient, there is still, to me, an indication for treatment, for that treatment.
Okay, and that's if you feel a lump. But we were talking about screening mammograms, continuing after the age of 75, and not stopping. Now, I will tell you that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists do recommend a yearly mammogram after the age of 40, and they recommend a clinical breast exam yearly. What is that? A clinical breast exam means you go to your physician, you get your breast examined, and also they recommend the yearly mammogram. If you are between the age of 20 and 39, you should get a clinical breast exam every 1 to 3 years. If you're over the age of 20, you should be doing self-breast examination. That's very important that you get to know your geography, as I say.
That's true, because the younger person's breast is most difficult for physicians to examine versus the older person's breast. And tumors that are found in younger people are generally discovered by the patient. It's been in my experience, tumors have been generally discovered by the patient.
The other question I get many times from patients is that they have breast implants. They're scared to get a mammogram because they don't want to, quote, hurt or put pressure on their breast implants. Talk to us about that.
Breast implants should not interfere with the mammogram. The technologists are experienced in moving the implants in such a way that we can see the overlying breast. And in fact, in studies have shown that women who have breast implants who develop breast cancer, the cancers are discovered somewhat later because either because of a reluctance of women to have a mammogram or have a study, or the difficulty in demonstrating the overlying breast tissue.
Well, that's very important because a lot of women, again, will say to me, I don't want to get a mammogram. I spent a lot of money on my breast implants, and I don't want something to happen to them or the pressure. So it's very important. The take-home message is, even if you have breast implants, you should still get a mammogram.
I've never seen a breast implant disturbed, or how can I say it, deflated as a result of a mammogram. And I've just never seen that.
Okay, so that should rest everybody's fears about the mammogram, getting a mammogram. So I want everyone to understand what we're talking about today. We're talking about screening for breast cancer, the second leading cause of death in women, and the importance of getting a mammogram. Now, when you go to get a mammogram, you tell women don't have any creams. Tell us what the preparation is.
Well, the thing is, the amount of radiation we're using now is so little that even the metal that's in the deodorant that women use under their arms or in skin lotions will interfere with the X-ray beam that's coming through the breast. So that's the reason why we ask women not just to shower with soap and water and not to put any deodorant or skin creams on their breasts before the examination.
So that's very important to let women know that.
Yeah. It is important. Sometimes that may turn into a false positive examination because we see something that we have to have an explanation for, and we wind up calling the patients back. And that's an anxiety-producing experience for the patient. We try and do that as little as we possibly can.
And we talked about the false positive because that's one of the things that, my understanding, they wanted to limit screening mammograms because there is always a potential. Explain what does it mean by the word false positive?
False positive is we see something in the breast that we think either deserves more evaluation or even a biopsy. And if you biopsy something that you think is suspicious and it turns out to be a benign diagnosis, then that, in fact, is a true false positive. If you see something in the breast and you ask the patient to come down and have another picture taken, then that just sort of clears up an area of interest. Now, the callback rate is a way we judge our own performance. It's one of the ways we judge our own performance. The callback rate should be less than 10% of the patients who we see should have to be called back for another examination. And that's a good national average rate.
What does it mean by CAD? CAD, C-A-D, on the mammogram report. And I'm asking these questions. I know what it means, but I want him to explain to everyone.
Well, we have, at our center, we have what they call a second look device. In other words, every mammogram is read by human eyes, but it's also read by computerized. And the computerized point out different areas of the breast that you should pay more attention to. It doesn't necessarily point out a cancer, but it just says, hey, look, this part of the breast is not as regular. This part of the breast has a little bit more calcium in it. This part of the breast is denser. And so that when we have this computer-aided diagnosis, that's what the CAD device stands for. But and if you actually biopsied or paid attention to you should pay attention, but if you actually biopsied every little area that the CAD device pointed out, we'd be biopsying probably every patient. But that it's not designed for that. It's only designed to produce a heightened interest in that area of the breast.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get my mammogram done today.
Good.
Because I'm due also. And I want everyone to know that we're here with Dr. Melvin Katzen, radiologist from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center, who have two locations, one in Port Charlotte on Cochrane and one in Punta Gorda on Olympia Avenue. If you want to call and get a mammogram, and if someone doesn't have insurance, the cost is how much, Dr. Katzen?
I'm not sure to the dollar, but it's a little bit under $200 for a digital mammogram. Well, why is that so expensive? Years ago, when we were using film screen mammography, we used to charge about $50 for a mammogram. The reason why this charge has gone up so much is because the equipment we use now has this very sensitive plate that the breast rests against that senses the radiation coming through. And that sensitive plate lasts about 2 years, and the cost of that plate is about $100,000.
Oh, my God. Per each machine.
Per each machine, right.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
And I will tell you that our maintenance cost for these machines is about just under $6,000 a month.
So it's very expensive to maintain, to certify these machines, to also keep them up, and that's why the cost is higher.
That's exactly right. That's why the cost has gone from the $50 charge which we used to have when we were doing low dose mammography, to this charge when we're not using film and we're doing this digital mammography. But we've already reduced the dose between the film screen low dose mammography by about a third.
Well, you know, $200 is a lot of money if that's the ballpark. But I put it into this perspective. If a screening mammogram is going to decrease over 50% your chance of dying from breast cancer, then I totally feel it's well worth it.
Well, the other thing is, if somebody has a financial problem, we can work out some kind of a payment agreement with them.
Okay, and I know our time is slipping by, and we all know that this is the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues. Today, the question was, should I get a mammogram? Yes, you should. You should get a yearly mammogram between the age of 40, and if you listen to the show, some people will say stop at the age of 75. I say, with the latest research, continue to get a mammogram, as Dr. Katzen has said, if you're still moving, living, enjoying life. You know, 75, what is that, the new 60?
New 55.
Right, the new 55. So let's put that into perspective, and I want everyone.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. Thank you so much. This is the Slippery Slope of Lipids. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Thank you, Dr. Katzen. Next week, we have Dr. Ball, who is from pain specialist physician. We're going to have a great show next week also. Tune in, listen, learn, and God bless.